Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And today's date is Friday, August 5th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 20 in the chapter, There is a Solution. And we are reading the first two paragraphs, beginning with You May Have Already Asked Yourself, and ending with Summarize Some Points as We See Them. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 19252. That's 19,252. And the reference meeting for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Friday, August 5th is 19262. That's 19,262. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Marietta P. to please read those 12 steps for us.
Good morning, Marietta P. from Virginia, recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admit it, we are powerless over food and that our life become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we've harmed, became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. And I thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Marietta P. And Mary P., will you please read the 12 traditions for us?
Sure. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 20 in the chapter, There's a Solution, and we're reading the first two paragraphs. I'll ask Shelley E. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. The Big Book, page 20. You may already have asked yourself why it is that all of us become so very ill from drinking. Doubtless you're curious to discover how and why. In the face of expert opinion to the contrary, we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. If you're an alcoholic who wants to get over it, you may already be asking, what do I have to do? It's the purpose of this book to answer such questions specifically. We shall tell you what we have done. Before going into a detailed discussion, it may be well to summarize some points as we see them. Thank you for letting me do service. And we find ourselves here in the chapter, There is a Solution. And what I always hear and know to be true is that there's two ways to say that sentence. There is a solution or there is a solution. And I think that this chapter is starting us on our way to figure out what that solution is. First, it's going to tell us how and why we are so very ill from drinking. And then it's going to give us an action plan. I like that it says specifically because I'm a person who likes to adapt things to the way I think they should be done. I know when I first got this book and started identifying in, I could see, I had no idea. I am one of these people. And my tendency was, or what I really did, was I looked at the very back to look for the diet because that had always been my way to try and figure out a solution. And when I didn't see that, I thought, oh my gosh, I guess I'm going to have to like fasten my seatbelt and hear what these people have to say. And it did give me a plan of action. But I have to follow, every time I read this, I see something new and I'm given an instruction as to what to do. I love reading it with new sponsees because every time, again, like I said, every time I read it, I see something new. So it says, we shall tell you what we have done. It tells me specifically what they've done, how they have turned their lives over, how they have found serenity, and how I, too, can find serenity. And once we finish with the first 164 pages, the stories also give us an opportunity to identify in because I like to think I'm so original and, you know, nobody has experienced life in the way I have. And if you only knew and... the truth of the matter is we've all gone through life. We've all had hardship. We've all had exciting things happen. And we've all used the food as a solution. So anyway, with that, I'll pass and I look forward to hearing from everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Shelley E. What a great kickoff. All right. So we value everybody's experience. experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. If you'd like to comment on the first two paragraphs on page 20, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know your name. Then I'll speak at once now.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Special service to our newcomer.
Roz,
sharing your...
Roz.
Roz G? Yeah?
Yes, Roz G. Sorry, yeah.
Hi, Roz.
One East N.
One East N. And did I hear Jordan L too?
Yes, you did.
All righty. We have room for a couple more. Anybody want to get in the lineup?
Janice K.
Janice K. And one more.
Noelle
E. Noelle E. Wonderful. Thank you very much. Okay, so if you're not Deborah G., please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Deborah G., please share with us. You'll be followed by Roz G.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you so much for your service and moderating the meeting and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And thank you all for the shares coming up, 12-step in me. And, you know, for so long, I lived unconsciously. You know, unconsciously in my own little world of a solution that I thought was a solution. And it was complete insanity. That was my solution. I kept doing the same. I kept trying this. I kept trying that. And using this and using, I mean, just all these things that I thought were going to help, you know, in my own self-centered fear head. And that was not a good place to be, you know. And so it wasn't until, and this happened for years and years. I even had some period of abstinence, but I still wasn't totally in the solution. I was still dibby-dabbing around in alcoholic, my one alcoholic food. I was still not really doing the work of the steps because I was in the food, you know. And then when I finally surrendered, when I woke up and saw this alcoholic food, a fork in one hand and the substance in another hand, and how I was, I saw myself. I really saw myself for the first time. Oh, my God. It was just an awakening, like, oh, I don't want to be like this anymore, you know, help. And I was going through Herb Kay's workshop at the time. I was like maybe in the middle of it, I think. And I think that's what really helped with the awakening, is having going through that process. And then when I saw that, I said, you know, I can't do this. And I got myself an OA Vision sponsor and talked with her about alcoholic foods. Got honest, talked with her about what was going on with me and what I was doing and looking at reality with her. And then having her take me through the steps quickly, taking me through the steps quickly helped me to get that neutrality, helped me to get the transformation and the connection with power and having a relationship with that power today. It's just amazing now that I can see that, where before I had no clue. And I'm so grateful that you all continue to wake me up every morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Roz G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Juanis N.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, Vision for You peeps. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. I'm watering my vegetables, so you'll hear a little background noise as I speak today. I wasn't going to share, because I share kind of often, but I counted the days, and it's been 3 days. So I didn't hear anybody, so I thought, okay, I'll pipe in. And I grab my little mini big book here, and it says here, the purpose of this book is to answer such a question. And, you know, I'm a teacher by trade, and it is, you know, when we do lesson plans, the first thing we have to do is talk about the purpose of the lesson. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this because I want my students to be able to have a knowledge of or be able to perform this particular duty or write this sentence or being capable of writing this essay or whatever it is. And for this, the purpose of this book is to answer the question specifically of what I need to do about my compulsive eating problem. Because when I first came into Overeaters Anonymous, I thought I had a weight problem. That's all I thought. Weight. I'm fat, I'm ugly, and I don't like it. That was it. And after 20 years, I'm still learning about what my problem is. And as, you know, one of our noted speakers says, it is the problem of a buildup of human emotion. And, you know, it still happens. I still get the buildup of human emotion every day. I still have to work the 12 steps every day. I had a problem of an obsession of the mind coupled with the phenomenon of craving in the body. And since my disease is permanent, progressive, and fatal, I need to keep working these steps. So the purpose is, well, I had to learn what my problem was, which I just described. I loved to eat macaroni and cheese and chocolate cake a little bit too much. But what was behind all of that was my jealousy, my anger, my fears, especially my lived on fears. And do I still today? I discover that through my nightly reviews, usually I'm annoyed at something just about every day. And usually I'm afraid of something just about every day. But I don't dwell on it. The purpose of the book is also to tell me what I do about these issues. And that's in the 10th step and in the nightly inventory and working with other
gentle
people.
Reminder.
Thank you. So thank God for this book, these steps, and the answers. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Juanita, you're up next, followed by Jordan L.
Good morning. My name is Juanita N., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Simi Valley, California. So grateful to be on this meeting today, and thank you all for your service. It makes this meeting possible, and for the previous shares ahead of me. You know, there's one thing that gives me so much comfort and so much hope and courage, and gave me, I can say, to do this program and work it with all of my strength and all of my might, and that is the fact that this book tells me what we have done, not what we think, not what we've learned, not what we believe. It's not theories. It's what they actually did. And at this point, you know, it wasn't just one man that did it, and he was the great wonder. And then everybody else is like, oh, well, that worked for him. But what? It was over 100 people at this point that had done this same thing, and they all recovered. And, you know, I had to think about that because I had so many people telling me I didn't went to all of the you know, the weight loss groups and the money pay and the way and all of that stuff. I mean, so many of them dating way back, the ones that aren't even around anymore. And it was all theory. It was, you know, we can do this and we can lose weight, but then what? Then what? Then what do I do? What do I do with how I think and how I feel and my emotions? What do I do with what I reason why I got so sick from eating like I did? You know, it's so not about wanting to lose weight. I was so spiritually sick from eating the way I was eating that there was just no solution in those programs for that. You know, but these people were just as spiritually sick as I was, and this is what they did. What they did. You know, I can trust that. I can have hope in that because it's not a theory. It's what they did So what do? I do it. And they say specifically, we will tell you specifically what we did and how we recovered. You know, that's very clear and precise, and you know, it's exact, exactly what we did. Thank God, because that's what I need. I need exactly what did you do that worked. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Juanisan. Jordanelle, you're up next, followed by Janice K.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for moderating, Elaine. My name's Jordanelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous and Abstinent with everyone this morning. I like this. I like the mention of asking questions of the newcomer, asking themselves, why is it that all of us became so very ill from drinking? And asking how and why, in the face of the expert opinion to the contrary, have this group of addicts recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body? If a newcomer, if someone I'm working with is asking me questions, that's a good sign. That means they relate. It means that they're invested in this, you know, committed. It's internalizing. It's going from the head to the heart. and they're curious, you know. What do I have to do? So for me, I'm not sure that I had quite gotten to the point where I was asking myself why had I become so very ill. I was really asking myself, like, how am I going to get through the next day? You know what I mean? How am I going to follow this food plan and get to the next day and not like fall apart? So I'm not sure that I was even like, I'm not sure that I even had my sights being set on recovering from a hopeless condition of mind and body. Like, I was just taking it one day at a time when I got here. But I was curious about what do I have to do. I was curious about how it was that folks had worked these steps or followed the directions in this big book, and how it was that they had got to a place of neutrality around food. I was super intrigued by that, by like how do you feel neutrally towards these alcoholic foods after having been like a full blown compulsive overeater who got really ill from compulsively overeating on a regular basis, you know, and couldn't seem to get out of it, like couldn't seem
gentle reminder
to halt that cycle. So I'm very grateful to be on a meeting this morning and discussing this with all of you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jordanelle. Janice K, you're up next, followed by Noelle E.
Hi, this is Janice K in Oregon. The things that stand out to me in this particular section is that we have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body, and we shall tell you what we've done. It seems to me that the previous page, 19, sets us up for this. They're great lead-ins to step 12, to the commission of step 12. On page 19, back on the second, we dealt with the paragraph that states, those of us who live in large cities are overcome by the reflection that close by, hundreds are dropping into oblivion every day. and they do, and they are. And how shall we present what has been given so freely to us? And I love the section we dealt with yesterday that says, of necessity, there will have to be a discussion of matters medical, psychiatric, social, and religious. There's no part of my life that this disease has not impacted. And there's not a part of life that hasn't had to have the steps applied to it in some way in order to recover. Yeah, we can tell you what we've done. it's very simple. Trust God, clean house, help others. Okay, well, how do we do that? That gets into the specifics. Overall, we all generally do the same thing. But the fact is that it is still an encompassing disease that demands an encompassing response. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Janice K. Noelle E., you are up next, and then we'll take another lineup. We're commenting on page 20, the first two paragraphs. And so please share with us, Noelle.
Hi, thank you. It's Noelle E. in Louisiana. Thank you, everybody, for the service on this line and also the share. They're so good. And what is coming up for me in these paragraphs are basically, this is experience, strength, and hope. You know, like, this is what it is. Like, especially when you say, we shall tell you what we have done. Like, that's what this book contains, is ESH. And what it also brings up for me is, like, you know, so much of my life in the disease was giving a very fine, detailed explanation, justification, story of a lot of things, you know, for each different audience, making it sound better for each different audience. And I mean, the detail I would go to was unbelievable. It was like art, you know? And now to be able to talk to a sponsee or a fellow and say exactly what I have done and the detail, the subtle details are not wasted. And they're also true. Like, that's the big thing for me always is I'm like, I'm doing this and I'm with every honest fiber of my being. It's a miracle. That's the miracle for me. And also like someone like the previous person just mentioned, it's in every area of our life. That also is like, you know, now I can move through the world freely and not give in every detail what I'm doing everywhere else to all the people in my life who, you know, were my higher power for so long. You know, just like justifying, explaining, making them see me in a certain way or in a lot of places trying to make them believe me. You know, like now I can just move through the world and honestly what I'm about what I'm doing and, you know, their opinion of me doesn't define me. So yeah, just here, stunned by the miracle. Oof, it's good. I thank you all for letting me share. Have a beautiful Friday.
Thank you very much, Noelle E. All right. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared on the line in the last couple of days, we invite you to comment on page 20, the first two paragraphs. And just press
Lorraine
and unmute.
Lorraine
and
Beth.
Robin P.
I heard Robin P. and Beth, was it?
Alexis F.
Julie
E.B.
I heard Julie E.B. and Cynthia C., I believe it was. And I have room for one more. I've got
Alexis
Lorraine.
Alexis F.
I've got Lorraine, Robin P., Alexis F., Julie E.B., and Cynthia. And room for one more?
possibly room. Let's not take it right now because maybe there won't be room and that wouldn't be good. Okay, Lorraine, you please share with us first and you'll be followed by Robin P.
Hi, may I be heard, Elaine?
Yes, you sound great. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. Let's see. Okay, first sentence. I think I was ill before I became a compulsive overeater. And although I can't even remember when I wasn't, my compulsive eating goes back as far as I can remember. And, I don't know that I ever asked myself that question. I just thought I was an out-of-control glutton who, couldn't control my eating. So this is the sentence I love. We have recovered from a hopeless condition of mind and body. And that word recovered is the word I heard on this meeting the very first time I called in three years ago or so. And that intrigued me. I had never been to an OA meeting where I heard that word recovered used. And boy, did I want to know more about that. And so I'm on this meeting every single morning listening for more information on how to live my life. I am in a recovered state of mind and body at this point, just for today, recovered but not cured. It's a miracle. And where it says, in, it is the purpose of this book to answer questions specifically. There is not a question I have about this disease that is not answered in this book. And I love this particular meeting. It's not watered down. We don't read anything else. We read the program. And I need that. I don't need anything that's watered down or loopholes or any of that. And I have peace in my life today and neutrality with food. And so I just keep trudging the road, dealing with my defects of character, which come up regularly. And I am just so grateful for this meeting and for my recovery. Thank you, God. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you very much, Lorraine Ann. Robin P., you're up next, followed by Alexis S.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Thanks for your service. And everyone who makes this meeting possible. I'm Robin P., and I am a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. So, I just love everything about this book, and it feels very God-inspired, and I'm so grateful for it. If you are a compulsive overeater who wants to get over it, you may be asking, what do I have to do? And then it just says that this is the purpose of this book, to give you instructions of how we recovered. And I remember thinking that too. And I remember thinking, I'm the one person it's not going to work for. And I'm the one person that is not going to be able to stay abstinent. And that even, and I was so afraid that I was going to gain weight on abstinence. Like, it's just all this fear and self-centered fear at the center of the universe. And, now I have a solution, and it's right in this book, and I get to live in the steps, work the steps, take other people through the steps, and live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And I'm so grateful for that. I had surgery a week ago today, and it's been quite a ordeal in some regards, and in some regards I'm doing great, and I just get to keep leaning on God and reaching out and helping others and getting out of myself. And, I know that my abstinence and recovery were such a blessing for this surgery. And the doctor kept remarking, wow, you're not like other patients. Your body is so healthy and you're doing so well and you're recovering so quickly. And I know that's abstinence in action. And I'm so grateful for that. And also that we exercise, we just have healthy habits and it pays off. So I just wanted to put that out there that's, I think it's, what do we have to do? We just get to recover one step at a time, one day at a time, work these steps, carry the message to to others and be of service to God and our fellows. And, you know, my sponsor suggested, because I've been in some physical pain and some digestive issues, which is really fun for a compulsive overeater, that, you know, just keep getting out of, take care of yourself, slow down, and keep helping others. And so my favorite moments of the day are when I'm on with my sponsees. So just God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day. I love you all. I'm sending you huge hugs, and thank you for all your prayers.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Glad to hear everything went so beautifully. Alexis F., you are up next, followed by Julie E.B. Please share with us, Alexis.
Yes, thank you. This is Alexis F. in New Jersey. I'd like to share with you the what this program has done for me and what my relationship with the universe and higher power has done for me. I now have an opinion. I never had an opinion before. I was afraid to express it. Or if it came out, it didn't come out exactly the way I wanted it to. I said too much or I said too little. I have my own taste now, and I'm secure in it. I'm secure in the fact that I like the way my house looks, the way I've decorated it. Doesn't have to be as good as anybody else's. I like my meal plan. It satisfies me. I don't have to have the meal plan that everybody else does. I hear sometimes, you know, that we have to stick strictly to the book. When I did that, it made me very sick. I can't be exactly straight to the book. As I said, I don't have my alcoholic foods. I stay away from sugar entirely. I've cut sugar out of my diet. I don't have pasta or potatoes or rice or any of those things. But it's very important to me to highlight my gains and blindside my failures. Continue to make progress. That's the only way I'm going to make progress. And I'm going to tear myself down every time I build myself up. I'm never going to make any progress. Before, I would tell you the worst of me. And, you know, I never say anything good about myself. I'm beginning to see a little bit of light inside of me now. And that's what this program, you and God has done for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Alexis F. Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Cynthia C.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. This paragraph shows why I love the big book. Sorry, there's construction next door. That'd be quiet out here. Why? It hooks me with why, because I spent 4 decades of my life asking why. You know, by the time I was 42 years old, I was dying in this disease with multiple health issues, not even able to get out of bed. And today, I can be outside. What's the difference? Well, he pulls us in here with why. Why has this happened? And this can even happen after a binge or after a time we go and try and diet and control and restrict. Why? And, you know, sometimes people call me. I don't know why I did this. And fortunately for me, the big book doesn't care. This program of recovery, these 12 steps, they don't really care. I spent years in the why. What this paragraph does, if you read it carefully and look at the transition, it's so great. Why? Why? You might be asking why. You might be asking why, but what is the real question at the bottom of the first paragraph? What? What do I have to do? We shall tell you what we have done. What I have done is I got a sponsor in whom the problem had been solved. I worked with them, one person with the other. I used the resources of this meeting and communities that are there to support me. And I learned to ask for help. I put down the food and I said, help. And I worked the steps in order. And then today I sponsor. I work my 10, 11, 12, What do I have to do? I don't know why some of the things that have happened to me this year or going on in my life right now are happening, but I know what to do, how to turn to God, how today I have a God that doesn't hate me or think I loathe me the way I loathe myself, but a power greater than myself, more loving than myself, and more personal to me. So this is a program about what to do. And we may sit around all day thinking why, or you might pick up the phone, get a sponsor, get help at whatever step you're in right now, and do the work and keep going. And just let the why fall by the wayside. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. Cynthia C. is up next, and we will have time for one, maybe two short shares after Cynthia C. So please share with us, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, moderator, and everybody who makes this meeting possible today and every day. This is Cynthia C., recovered, I don't know, keeps growing and changing. I'm in Newton, Massachusetts. I just love this meeting, me too. And I'm so grateful that, you know, over 5 years ago, February 2017, when I hit my low and I was saying, why? And I think it was more why me, you know, why me, pour me a drink, pour me a big thing of, you know, sugar, whatever. Why me? And how did I get here? And how, why am I always here? And why am I this? And why am I that? And I'm so grateful. I've had a history in 12-step programs, and I knew the answer was in the big book. I knew the answer was in the big book. And I'm so grateful that so soon after I came in, you know, it was like, you know, a day or two after I went to my first in-person meeting, which had a very different focus, more of a focus on abstinence and a focus on the tools and a focus on weight loss. Which is all good. It's all good. But I knew the solution was in the big book. I knew the solution was there. And I'm so grateful that within a couple of days, I found this meeting and I knew I was home. And the solution is here. And what I love that I've learned so much in this meeting is, you know, what we do is we learn the big book. I went through the big book with a recovered sponsor who also had gone through the big book with her recovered sponsor, and she could share her experience, strength, and hope with me, and she could share with me what worked for her. So tons of experts can tell me what I should be doing, but if they've not lived the life of a compulsive overeater and food addict, then they don't know what it's like for me. But I had the sponsor who walked me through, and people and outreach, and I created what I call a God squad of people who I was close to who, you know, I would call, and we were all learning. We were in different places in our recovery in the big book. And I'm grateful for that. And like another speaker said, I work to apply principles in all of my affairs. And, you know, even 5 years into recovery, I've noticed that there are some behaviors that I'm not comfortable with, that aren't working for me around food. And I was able to reach out, and I'm working with another sponsor for 1 year. And, you know, and she shares her experience, strength, and hope about being more mindful around all our behaviors around food. And, you know, and I really need that. So it's never, I never stop asking questions, but my questions are different now. My questions aren't like,
for
me, thank you. It's how do I learn and how do I grow? With that, I pass. Thank you all. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. We have time for two quick shares if anybody would like to share their experience, strength, and hope on paragraph two, on page 20, the first two paragraphs.
Lisa P.
Andreas B.
And Andreas. Okay, Lisa P., please share with us.
Hi, Lisa P., Portland, compulsive overeater. I have not admitted this to the group, but I feel today is a good day because of our paragraph. I was negatively judgmental about people who used the word recovered. I would think that they were sort of pompous and arrogant and superior. And it took me a while to get over that and realize that it was my fear and my feelings of inadequacy. And I made my way to the quote recovered movement. And now that's pretty much all the meetings I go to. And I get it. It's in the big book. Why would the word not be, not be used? So I'm really excited to be a part of the, quote, recovered movement, and I'm looking forward to being recovered. And that fear is gone. I made my way to the right place, and I'm happy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa T. And Andreas, you'll be our last share for today. Star one to unmute. Andreas?
Yes, can I be heard now?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Well, thank you all for a lovely meeting. This is really one of my go-to meetings, and I find it quite hard to raise my voice and be heard here because there are so many people that like to share. But thank you all for attending here. And just want to share my short experience here. I have a couple of years of recovery, and I'm also an active sponsor myself. But the thing that you really need to do the work, you really need to do this one day at a time. We only have these 24 hours of recovery, and tomorrow we don't really know about, and yesterday's gone. So I try to pass that on to my sponsees as well, that if you do the work, if you follow these quite simple but hard guidelines, you will recover one way or another. You will. I'm living proof that it works, and I know that many of you are as well. So I just want to claim my seat and say thank you very much for a lovely meeting, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Andrea. We're going to close just a minute early and give some extra time for our newcomer greeter. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E.B. please read a vision for you?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own home is in order. Obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.